Hello, I'm Michelle Kaneko, and I'll be your host, your ghost host. Welcome to Parks and Pixie Dust, where we discover the magic of the Disneyland Resort. To most, going to the park simply means spending time at the local park and playground. However, for some of us here in the San Fernando Valley, our park is just a little bit bigger and much more magical. Of course, I'm talking about Disneyland, where the young and young at heart go to play and discover whole new worlds. Although some can't see how Disneyland can appeal to adults, today I have on Anna Clark to discuss the happiest place on Earth. Anna is a lifelong Disneyland fan, growing up going to the parks about twice a year. Now that she lives in Southern California, she is able to attend the parks about twice a month. She goes to Disney to make a happy day happier, or even to make a sad day happy. I mean, it is hard to stay upset on Main Street with the castle in view, the smell of popcorn, and the Dapper Dan singing on the sidewalk. Anna, it's great to have you on the show today. Ready to talk some Disney?
I'm ready. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. It's great to have you on. Okay, so just to start off, what is a bit of your Disneyland backstory? How did you get into Disneyland?
So the first time that I went to Disneyland, I was still in my mom's stomach. She was pregnant with me. My parents loved Disneyland, so I grew up going. I've gone about twice to three times a year ever since I was 20, and now that I live here, like you said, I go twice a month. I am obsessed with Disneyland, everything that it offers. I've gone at tough times in my life to turn them happy, like you said, and just to lift my spirits and enjoy what it has to offer.
So on the days that you go when you're upset, what do you normally do to, you know, cheer yourself up?
One of my favorite parts, I would think of myself a little bit as an introvert, and one of my favorite parts is in California Adventure, the Animation Academy, where if you don't know what that is, you go and every half an hour they have a different class where you can draw
Disney characters.
And my dad's an artist. He loves doing it with me. My mom and my sister, not so much. So when I go with them, I don't always get to go. So it's nice to go if I'm there alone and just sit and have that quiet time and get some art done and just enjoy what it has to do and to offer.
Oh, definitely. The Animation Academy is so much fun, even for those who can't draw, like me.
Yes.
So since your first trip to Disneyland was before you were actually born, what are some prominent memories that you have from when you were really, really tiny?
One of the most memories that I have tons. There's pictures of me when I was a year old with my mini ears on at Goofy's Kitchen. I still have my baby ears. I keep them next to my Minnie Mouse ears now. Sometimes I'll wear them to the park. They are crumpled and folded, but I love them. I'm keeping them for my own child. And then one of my most fondest memories is I was probably about four or five, and this is when in the Disneyland Hotel and all the resorts, they offered rooms that were still smoking rooms. And when I was 1 year old, my mom had cancer, and she survived it. She's been in remission. She's super healthy. But we were going, and she had asked for a non-smoking room. And at this time, my sister was an infant. She was just born. So it was necessary that our room was non-smoking. And they had messed up the reservation, so they only had a smoking room. And because she couldn't have a smoking room, they upgraded us to the suite, the presidential suite on the very top floor of the Disneyland Hotel. And I remember waking up, and my aunt lives in San Diego, and thinking that I went and I looked at my dad said, go and look at the window. Like, what do you see? And I said, are we at Aunt Barb's? And I look and I saw the old pool that had Peter Pan and the pirate ship. And I just like, oh my gosh, we're at Disneyland. And I was only four, and I remember that so vividly. And that's like one of my happiest memories. I just love Disneyland so much. It was great. It was great.
Waking up in the presidential suite of the Disneyland Hotel definitely sounds like a good way to start a day.
And I remember watching Disney Junior, like PB&J Otter and Out of the Box that morning too, which just was my childhood.
Definitely.
Watching Disney at Disneyland is the best, so.
Okay, so since Disneyland is always growing and changing, what are some aspects of the parks that no longer exist that you would really want to bring back? So that way the new generation of kids and adults going to Disney would be able to experience them.
I haven't really thought of that. I think that there's this show, Fantasmic, which I know that we talked a little bit about. And if you don't know what it is, those who are listening, you have the fireworks show, and then Fantasmic is this show that they put on right before and right after the fireworks, and it kind of happens on the water, and it's just another magnificent show. And they've changed it and upgraded it a little bit with more Pirates of the Caribbean and Johnny Depp. And for me, Disney is the happiness of the original cartoons. And a lot of these new movies that are integrated into the fireworks and stuff, I'm not that much of a fan of. For example, the new one, the pirate ship that comes into the water in the new show is filled with the pirates and Johnny Depp and or someone playing him, whereas the old one was Peter Pan and Tinkerbell. And I just feel like that is a little bit more of the Disney spirit, so I would love to see that come back.
Yes, definitely. With all the characters being so colorful, it's very easy to, oh, look, that one's Peter Pan.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so we talked about this a little bit earlier, but how long have you been an annual pass holder going to the park so often?
I've been an annual pass holder for about a year. My pass is expiring. It lasts a year. It's expiring in a couple weeks, so it's time to renew it, but it's been about a year.
Okay, and what are some positive and negatives that you would say to having an annual pass versus going once, maybe twice a year?
Saving money, for sure. Every time I go, me and my mom, we go a lot, and we constantly think, okay, how much did we spend today versus if we had bought the tickets at full price? And you save so much money if you go a lot. Also, with an annual pass, I think it depends on which level you have, but I get 20% off of my purchases at the stores and the restaurants, so that is amazing benefit, and free parking.
The free parking helps a lot.
It definitely helps a lot.
Okay, and to get an idea of what your trips to Disneyland are normally like now with the annual pass, who do you normally go to Disney with?
I usually go with my family. My mom is my Disney best friend. Usually I'll go with her. Sometimes my sister and my dad will tag along, but usually it's my mom and me, and we'll usually go Sunday nights sometimes to kick off the week. We'll go down there. A lot of people think it's funny because we'll leave my house around 6 and we won't get to the park until maybe 8, but then we'll stay till midnight. We'll either go to dinner and then maybe go on a ride or two. But it's just a fun little date night that I have with family members, and it's fun to break it up. I go so often into little trips, and it just stays special that way.
Yes, and a lot less stressful.
Yes, you don't have the need to do everything in one day.
Okay, so typically on those trips, what are the first three things that you have to do?
Little Mermaid ride. I have this joke with my mom. In the ride, you see Ariel and Eric getting married, and our code word for going to Disneyland now is, let's go to the wedding. Like, let's go to the wedding. You want to go to the wedding? That's kind of our code word. So we have to go to the wedding, and then probably Dole Whip or popcorn, some sort of food, some sort of restaurant or food. And then, like I said, always a drawing class or another ride, which it kind of depends on my mood.
Okay, so Disney fan culture can tend to expand further than simply going to the parks. Fans can pin trade with cast members, collect vinyl mations, Disney bound as their favorite characters, or even join unofficial Disneyland social clubs. Do you participate in any of these? Do you collect anything from the parks?
My family and I just got into pin trading. It was my dad, my mom, my sister, and me, the four of us, and we went and we bought the lanyard and we each chose 2 pins. So now every time we go, we see, okay, who wants to trade a pin? So that's been fun. Also, this past Christmas, I got a record player, because I was collecting a lot of old Disney records that I could find at thrift shops. And I think it was with this new D23 Expo that they introduced vinyl into the stores. So the last time I was there, I got Beauty and the Beast soundtrack on it. And that's kind of my new goal, is to collect all the records of the classic Disney soundtracks.
Yes, the vinyls that they have in Disneyland, they're all just absolutely gorgeous.
They're
beautiful. It shocks me sometimes which movies they even have available. One of the ones that I have is The Nightmare Before Christmas. I never thought that that would be one of the ones that they would turn into vinyl.
Yeah, they have a lot of the classic ones now, and they're just beautiful. The CD itself, or the vinyl itself, has the pictures of the movie on it, and they're gorgeous.
Okay, so along with the Disney fan culture, guests can also attend official, unofficial, and even out-of-park events, including official events like Mickey's Halloween Party, which is going on now, unofficial events like Dapper Day, Bats Day, or Gay Days, and out-of-park events like D23, or if you want something a little bit more local, a bit easier to go to, the AMC 16 Promenade is actually showing classic Disney princess movies for the next couple of weeks.
I had no idea about that. That's good to know.
So I'll definitely give you some little extra information after the show.
Absolutely.
Going later today. Super excited. It's Beauty and the Beast this week. So anyway, do you have any experience with any of these events?
This past Dapper Day, me and my mom went to the park, and we didn't know it was Dapper Day. And that was super fun. And we actually went at the convention center the center that they have in the Disneyland Resort. They had all these tables set up, all the dresses, the shoes that people purchased to wear for Dapper Days. So even though we weren't participating in it, we went there and we bought some stuff. And that's been a lot of fun. The other ones I have not been to, but I look forward to doing them in the future.
Well, they are definitely a lot of fun, Dapper Day, especially when you know what day it is. It's a lot less confusing.
Yes.
I've had that happen to me before going into the park. Like, wait, it's Gay Days? How did I not know?
Yeah.
Okay, so like I said, Halloween's already at Disneyland and California Adventure this year, which is still fairly new. Are you planning on experiencing Mickey's Halloween Party or some of the events in California Adventure, which you don't actually need a separate ticket to go to the stuff in California Adventure?
Yeah, I want to do Mickey's Halloween Party. I actually, this past October, I had a friend from out of town and we went to see them, and we were going to go into the park and we didn't realize that it was Mickey's Halloween Party, so we couldn't actually get in, but it was so fun sitting outside and just watching all the little kids in their costumes. So in the future, either this year or the next, it would be so much fun to participate in it.
Oh, definitely. And with going so often in California Adventure, they actually have Cars Land all decorated out. Your eyes just got very wide.
I don't know if I've been to Cars Land when it's been Halloween.
Well, it did only start, I believe, on the 15th. So it is still very new. They have, I think it's Lightning and Tomater and Halloween costumes. During the day at Disneyland, you can still experience some of the Halloween magic with Haunted Mansion Holiday, Space Mountain, Ghost Galaxy, both overlays on the ride, as well as meeting Jack and Sally, who are only there from September to, I want to say, December. So, also, since this is an interview show, I am, just for a little while, I'm going to pretend that I know almost nothing about Disney and ask you some questions about what you would suggest for a first vacation.
Perfect.
Okay, and just assume that, I'm either in a group going with my mom or with my mom, dad, and sister, so a group very similar to yours.
Okay, great.
Okay, so what are the must-do rides, aside from the wedding?
And what are some must-do rides? This is actually fun because I took my boyfriend a couple months ago, and he hadn't been since he was little, so we kind of got to do this, and I got to show him the ropes. The must-do rides are, my favorite is Indiana Jones. I think that's a lot of fun. I know that for my boyfriend, he did not expect that it would be as crazy as it was. It's a lot of fun. For the more softer rides that I love, Winnie the Pooh is so, so sweet and just happy. Animation Academy, like I said, if you can go to both parks. The classic Autopia is so much fun. Space Mountain, if you're a thrill seeker. things like Pirates of the Caribbean is classic. Just the things that are the classic rides that really embody what Walt Disney wanted for his park, I think, are great.
Well, those are definitely some great suggestions. Second part to that question was going to be, which rides would you fast pass? Indiana Jones, always fast pass Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones, and also Solo Rider. Or, that's not what it's called.
Single Rider.
Single Rider. I don't know why I called it Solo Rider. Single Rider is the best. It's basically, for a lot of the rides, if you want to go on yourself, Indiana Jones you can, Matterhorn you can. You can just stand at the exit, and if there's a car that has, for example, four seats and there's only a family of three, they'll ask for a single rider and you can hop on. So that's great.
Yeah, it's normally a much faster alternative to getting on the ride.
Yeah. Radiator Springs Racers, you can do single rider, which you can get on within 5 minutes instead of waiting 2 hours. So even if you're with a group of people, I definitely recommend doing single rider.
Yes. Especially for Radiator Springs Racers. I cannot emphasize that enough.
You don't want to stand in line for that.
Okay, so most theme parks in Southern California, we do have quite a few theme parks, have fairly bland food. What are some places that you would go to get good food, aside from just, you know, chicken nuggets, hamburgers, french fries, without needing a reservation?
So I'm actually passionate about the food, not only at Disneyland, but Disneyland or Disney resorts. I am severely allergic to gluten. I go into anaphylactic shock if I have it. I have to stop it. So allergy-friendly options are really important to me, and the best options that I have found are with Disney. They are amazing. So first, before I get into what food, if you have an allergy, any restaurant at Disneyland, any little shop, they have allergy menus waiting for you. It's amazing. But the best food, I love, without a reservation, one of my favorite things, not inside the park, but in the Disneyland Resort, is called Trader Sam's. And it is kind of like a tiki bar hut, but you don't have to be 21 to get in. You can sit outside. You can sit inside, too. I know that my younger sister has gone inside, and they have great kind of island fair food. They have pulled pork sandwiches. They have tacos. They have amazing drinks, both non-alcoholic and alcoholic for adults. It's so much fun. Also, Dole Whip. I'm sure people have heard of it. If you haven't, you know nothing about Disneyland. It is this kind of pineapple whip frozen yogurt outside of the
Tiki room.
I couldn't think of it. It's amazing. The caramel apples at Disneyland, which you can find downtown Disney, as well as in the shop right next to Winnie the Pooh and on Main Street, are decorated like many different characters. My favorite's the Minnie Mouse one because it just has so many treats on it. And the popcorn's amazing. I could go on and on. Sometimes I just go to Disneyland to eat. I just don't go on any rides. I just go and I eat my way through and I leave.
Completely agree. Whenever I go down to Anaheim for whatever reason, it's always, oh, let's just do a stop by Disneyland to get food and $20 worth of snacks.
It's amazing. It's overpriced, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it.
It's so good.
So good.
Okay, so you've already answered my question a lot about the snacks, which Disneyland, especially in the locations where you can find the caramel apples, so many different sweet treats. Anything
so
from
many. Fudge, covered marshmallows. There's like the Tigger Tail, which is marshmallow and chocolate, and then like I think it's like orange chocolate or something. I don't even know. It's the best. It's just magical. It's Disney magic.
Definitely. I'm the one who wrote down these questions, and you're making me hungry.
I know. I think I might have to go to Disneyland after this interview.
Can I join you?
Yes. Absolutely.
So, anyhow, we've talked about snacks and dining without a reservation. What about dining with a reservation? What places would you suggest?
I'm so glad you asked me this, because I wanted to mention I'm all about dining with a reservation at Disneyland because, like I said, food is amazing at Disneyland. So, starting with the first part of the day, breakfast, Storybook Cafe in the California Adventure Hotel, It is a buffet that has character breakfast. You have Chip and Dale, Pluto, Brother Bear. You have all these things, and it's eggs and waffles and omelets and hash browns, so many others. And then also my favorite in the California Adventure Hotel, I'll get to the parks after that, is Napa Rose. And that is only open for dinner, but it is so, it's a little on the pricier side, but if you want a really elegant dinner, get outside the busyness of the park, it's delicious. And then, of course, the Blue Bayou inside Pirates of the Caribbean. It is dark and romantic and mysterious, and it's great. And then my favorite, Carthay Circle in California Adventure Hotel. You're looking at me like you know what I'm talking about.
Definitely.
It is old Hollywood themed, and you go inside, and there's pictures of Walt Disney with different celebrities. Like, my favorite picture in there is Shirley Temple. And it just embodies everything about old Hollywood, and you just feel so important eating there.
Yes, even just eating in the lounge downstairs. Like,
yeah, you can just get a drink, appetizers. It's amazing.
Yes, definitely with Carthay Circle, also one of my favorites. So thank you for bringing that up. I love talking about that place.
Absolutely.
So going back a little bit, what is something uncommon, something that maybe isn't necessarily everyone's favorite thing to do that you would, your eyes just got wide again.
I know the answer to this.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of a challenge, though.
Okay.
Outside of Animation Academy.
Oh, yeah, no, I know the answer to this. What is something uncommon? Mickey and the Magical Map Show. It's my favorite show. I think it's meant for five-year-olds, and I'm 21, and I'm obsessed with it. It's basically that Mickey, the sorcerer, needs Mickey to make a map, and he has to go to all of these different lands, and you have Pocahontas and Mulan and Sebastian and all, I'm getting so excited, and all of these characters performing, and it's just wonderful, and it's so much fun. I think it lasts like a half an hour, and it's just, it's right outside of Toontown, and it's just so magical and fun, and you just want to get up and dance.
Yes, definitely, especially for the fact that they pull in some songs, some characters that aren't necessarily everywhere else in the Disneyland Resort. Like, they have Be Like You from Jungle Book, which is
my
fan favorite.
Spoiler alert, that might be in the new Fantasmic show. A little bit. It's the best.
So looking forward to that. They have a song that has Pocahontas, Mulan, Rapunzel and Flynn Rider all singing together. It's just, it's amazing. It's brilliant.
Absolutely.
You know that you go a little bit too often when you can recognize the dancers.
Oh, yeah. I can definitely recognize, even waiters. I recognize waiters. I go way too often.
Well, that's always fun. You're like, oh, hey, Jeff.
Yeah, I know who you are.
Okay, so Disney has some exciting plans for the future of the parks. Are you excited for any upcoming plans?
Star Wars Land, definitely. I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan. I mean, obviously, I love it like everyone, but I'm excited to see how it gets incorporated. And I'm also excited to see that in Tomorrowland, they have Star Tours. I'm excited to see if that will be put back into Star Wars Land and how the park will kind of combine everything that's new coming up.
Okay, so looks like we are running out of time. Thank you, Anna, so much for this wonderful discussion on Disney. Definitely hasn't felt like 25 minutes. I can talk about Disneyland for 25 hours.
Yes.
And I'm definitely going to have to try some of what you recommended. Spend a little bit more time in the animation building. Go to the wedding a little bit more often. Best way to cool down.
Yes.
Are there any closing remarks you would like to make?
I think that the biggest thing that I would say, a lot of people, either adults or kids, aren't the biggest fans of Disneyland, and I would say that if you aren't the biggest fan of Disneyland, just give it a try. Maybe look into what you like if you really like art but you don't like crowds. Like I said, the Animation Academy, if you just focus on maybe what you like personally, you might grow to love the park and it's everything it stands for.
Well, I think that is a wonderful sentiment to end the show on. Thank you for listening to Parks and Pixie Dust with our guest, Anna Clark. This is Michelle Kaneko reporting for KPCRadio.com.